This is our Father's world. Amen. If you have a Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's begin reading. I'll give you a minute to get there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And drop down to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And now verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our blessed brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Father, we ask your blessing now on the word. Please, God, we pray for liberty, wisdom, and power now. Open every heart. Thank you for being so good to us, so merciful and kind. Bless your precious word now in Jesus' name. Amen. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and amen. When God makes a promise, his word cannot be broken. And so whatever he says is right. It's true. Amen. And will ultimately come to pass. Sometimes there are delays. We may look at that a little bit today too. But what the point I want to bring out is in our text, it talked about the long suffering of God. I think that's a key to the message today. The Lord has so many wonderful attributes. He's merciful. He's kind. He's wise, amen, and we can glean so much from God just fellowshipping with him. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So he's working on the inside. He's working in our circumstances, amen. Everything that's going on, he has a part in. He sees that, and he's long-suffering. There are things going on in the world today. You wonder, why doesn't God do something about this? And there's a reason for that, and we'll see that from the scripture. A.W. Tozer said about this attribute of God, long-suffering, if we take away any of the attributes of God, we do not weaken God, but we weaken our concept of God. You've heard it a million times. If God's God, why did he allow that? And there are answers in the Bible. Charles Stanley wrote this. He said, kindness is not something that we put on for various occasions, like a piece of jewelry. Rather, it is an attribute of God's that he desires to reproduce in us. And so we become Christ-like. Since he's at work in us, we're born again of his spirit. Amen. We have a new nature. And God is working in all of us to be like him. So we can do his work on earth. Amen. I think that's important. The definition of long-suffering is bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. A long time. There's things I've been praying out about for years, and God hasn't answered them yet. Amen. And God has a purpose in that. He's working in us, and he's working in other people. But he is long-suffering. Exodus 34 and verse 6, description of our Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. The psalmist said in another place, his gentleness hath made me great. Isn't that a blessing? That's a wonderful verse. God is gentle with us. He's kind with us. Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Sin has to be paid for. But that's why Jesus went to the cross. He paid our sin penalty. You have Psalm 85 and verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, there's the word again, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And that word is enveloped in mercy and truth. It's like right in the middle of all of that, because God wants to make that point. We have 1 Peter 3:20, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Over 100 years, Noah was preaching righteousness. Noah was a godly man, and you know the story of Noah and the ark. But for over 100 years, the world was in bad shape. The world was wicked. Why did God wait that long? Because he's merciful. He's long-suffering. Amen. God's waiting on you, too. He's waiting on me for some things. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, God endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. So I'm instructed today to be like God or be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And so Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But you are enduring the sound doctrine right now. Amen. You're in church. You're hearing the word of God. And I am to present it with long-suffering. Well, I brought the same message last week, and it didn't change anybody's life. Preach it again next week. Amen. God says, do this line upon line, precept upon precept, where God gets the glory for being merciful and kind and long-suffering. I think this is a great word. In 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So we preach the grace of God. We preach it every week. We preach the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God. That is woven into all of the messages and all of the lessons that we teach. Why? Because God wants to minister to us. Amen. And sometimes we go click, you know, and maybe towards the end of the service, it's turned back on for a minute, you know, but sometimes it's click. But God still wants to repeat something so that we get it. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, this is the question sometimes that a lost man will ask or ask to a lost man. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's the goodness of God that draws people. We're drawn with the cords of love, Hosea says. I think it's, well, turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We will read a verse there, or a couple of verses. Is God good to you? Amen. Real good, amen. Has he blessed your life? And maybe not financially, but he's blessed you with mercy and the riches of his grace. Things that cannot be purchased with money. Amen. We have salvation. We have hope. We have the promise of a life eternal with Almighty God. We have the promise that there's not going to be any more pain or sickness or sorrow or sin. I mean, all of those things are wonderful, wonderful truths. Let's read, let me see, where am I at? Verse 9, chapter 7, verse 9. And now I rejoice, not that ye were sorry, made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and he's writing back 2 Corinthians, because the letter and God speaking to them changed some of their lives, because they became sorry for their sin. He says, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. The salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It's such a blessing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And that goodness also speaks to our heart and changes our life. And God says that over and over in the scripture. 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Long-suffering is what keeps the Lord from returning. I would want him to come back right now. Amen? And we look for him to come. Amen? And he's going to come in an hour when we think not, but we want him to come. And we're looking for that. That's called the blessed hope in the Bible. But if some people would have their way, he would come right now and judge this world and take us out of it. Pay him. Get him. Remember the story about James and John, and they're walking with the Lord, and this one place won't receive the Lord into their town and listen to him? And James and John said, Lord, why don't you call down fire from heaven? Just like Moses did. I mean, Or Elijah did in the Old Testament. There's a Bible example of it, Lord. You know, just call down fire from heaven and burn them up. And the Lord said, I didn't come to destroy man's life. I came to save man's life. Amen. And we look at a wicked world and all we're thinking sometimes is, come on, God, get me out of here and punish these wrongdoers. Yeah, but we were wrongdoers at one time. We weren't on this side of salvation. But I think that's important. Remember Genesis chapter 18? And Lot is going to, he's in Sodom, and God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He tells Abraham that. That's chapter 18. And Abraham says, Lord, will you spare the city for 50 righteous people? And the Lord said, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. And then Abraham knows what it's like in the city. He says, will you spare it for 45? Yes. Will you spare it for 40? And he keeps on going down and down until at last he comes, will you spare it if there's 10 righteous? And the Lord said, yes, but there were not even 10 righteous in that city. I want to read something to you. The angels come to Sodom, and they're going to destroy the city. And this is chapter 19. And it says, oh, let me begin reading in verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, and for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them was waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed unto them as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, Lot is lingering. God says, I'm going to destroy this place. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and brought him out. Sometimes he lays hold on us. Sometimes he helps us. He forces the issue because he's just being merciful. Amen. Sometimes you'll come to church and you'll hear the Bible. And I've heard this so many times. Boy, did you hear our conversation on the way to church? Or were you in our living room last night? Or how did you know we were going through that? And God speaks to people. Amen. Of course, I say it all the time. If you prayed for the message, then God's going to give you the message. He's going to minister to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to give you a few more verses that contain this word long-suffering, and then we'll get into the message. 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. It's God that worketh in you. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. We are to suffer long with joyfulness, knowing that we're fulfilling the will of God. God is using our trial. God may even use our suffering to get glory and to work in somebody else's life. And so we have that wonderful attribute of God, long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Wow. And there are more verses than that. And when God says something one time, we ought to think it's important. But when he says it about 20 times, I think he's trying to get our attention. Amen. There are people that misuse the long-suffering of God. They misuse it. They have provoked God 5, 10, 15 years, and they cannot stand 5 minutes of rebuking them, or 5 hours, or even 5 days. And we're not going to be long-suffering without knowing this truth. The wicked misuse it. We read in the Bible, where is the promise of his coming? There was a man by the name of Ingersoll, and he was an atheist. And he said this. If there be a God, let him strike me dead. But God did not smite him. And from this he argued that there was no God. From the same fact, I argue that there is a God. And this God is truly God, for if he had been less than divine, he might have struck him dead. But being infinitely patient, he bore with him still. God proves he's merciful. Amen. Many today mock God because he's not doing what he said, but he's waiting time so that he can be a blessing to them. We all have a great enemy. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world and the devil are real battles. But we have a battle going on inside of us, and it's called pride. It's called our own way. It's called a number of different things. It's described self-will. And that self-will and that pride will not be pushed to do something. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. There are people that do things because they have to do it, not that they want to do it. God wants his children to love him and to serve him because it's a privilege to serve him, not because they have to. Otherwise, they're under the law all the time. Well, I have to do this and I can't do this. And boy, Christians can't have any fun. And then we got to go sit in adult church service for an hour, you know, every Sunday, so people think we're spiritual. But coming to adult church service is a blessing. Amen? Because you can do that for the Lord. That's why I have dull church services all the time. So you could be blessed. But that is a real enemy, and he will not be pushed and forced, and God knows that. So God draws people. We're drawn to God by the cords of love. And God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen? And all of this love that God shows, and all of this mercy, and all of this long-suffering, we know who we are, we know how we live, we know where we fall short, and God is still merciful in spite of all of that. And our pride says, I'm not going to be made to do this, and so God knows that, and he comes along, and he wants you to fall in love with him. Because he's precious to you, the believer. And that is the secret of his heart. When love and mercy are rejected, the man is well nigh hopeless, because you cannot get saved without your heart being in it. You cannot get right with God without your heart being in it. David, Psalm 51, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's talking about that. And he's saying, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, restore in me the joy of thy salvation. It's not about me anymore, Lord. It's not about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's about honoring you. Amen. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And just like Luke chapter 15, the prodigal, he's coming home. The father ran out to meet him. He was just happy that he could love his son. Amen. And his son comes back and makes that prayer, and we're going to see more of that next Sunday, I think. I'll be bringing a message out of Luke 15. But God is a picture there, and he runs out to meet us. He shows his mercy and his love. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You cannot get saved unless you get saved with your heart. It's not just words. Amen? You're amazed that this God, knowing who you are, sent his son to die for your sins. And we love him because he first loved us. That's a transforming emotion. What will reach the heart more than the love and mercy and long-suffering of God? Boy, the stories are endless. John chapter 8, the woman taken in adultery. Jesus was a friend to sinners. Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross. Zacchaeus in the book of Matthew, you're familiar with the story. I mentioned Luke 15, the prodigal son. Mark chapter 16, and verse 7, the angel says to Mary, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's arisen. And Peter was the one that denied him. Amen? And the Lord wanted him to know for sure that the Lord wanted him there, and so he could experience his love. Think of your stories. before salvation. Think of your stories. Think of who you were. Maybe you were religious, but you still weren't a Christian. And think of your life. Think of your thoughts. Some people have a terrible testimony, and by that I mean a wicked testimony. And God was so kind, amen, that he saved you from your sin. And since we've been saved, boy, it's a wonderful thing that people get saved and then they never sin again. They never do anything wrong. Isn't that amazing? Like everybody here, you've gotten saved and now you've never done anything wrong since then. You know, God's been good to you to save you. Amen. And it's all over. You don't even have to struggle with sin. No, sometimes a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. The reason he rises up again is because there's mercy. There's goodness. There's faith. Amen. But who can brag in his own goodness? God knows who we are. And where grace did abound, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's a blessing. Account that the long suffering be salvation to you, if to nobody else. One preacher wrote this: the long forbearance of God brings to his own people much trouble. Follow this. This is the message. Pain, sorrow, it permits the ungodly to slander and injure you, yet it is the heart and will of God. We suffer much pain from lost people that God is trying to win. Amen. And sometimes we say, enough of this, and yet God is not saying enough of this. He's there trying to win those people. We have Paul and the Philippian jailer. The jailer was responsible for putting Paul and Silas into the stocks, having their backs beaten bloody. And yet when Paul found himself free, he went in and led that jailer to the Lord. Amen. No animosity at all. Let me read this again. The long forbearance of God that he brings to his own people, much trouble, pain, sorrow, it permits the ungodly to slander and injure you, yet it is the heart and the will of God. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Amen. It's hard to do, but it's the will of God. Why? Because God is trying to reach those people. Well, you know, those are difficult people. I don't want anything to do with them. Maybe God wants to put you in the midst of them. So I've had some jobs in my life that I didn't like the people I work with. Not at all. And that's what you're thinking. Amen. That's a wonderful Christian testimony. You know, smack them and then invite them to church the next Sunday, you know. Or have on your license plate, follow me to Fellowship Bible Church. You know, and then cut somebody off or shake your fist at them. We got a truck driver here who knows what I'm talking about. But I mean, God has put us next to difficult people. You might have never been a difficult person, but I'll bet you were. You say, well, are you accusing me? You don't even know who I'm talking to, so I can't be. You do. No, what I'm saying is somebody reached us. Amen? Somebody put up with, was patient. When I worked at General Motors, we had a fellow there, and he was a part-time pastor. He had to work, so he was working in the place, and he would witness to us. We would curse him. We would make fun of him. His name was Lloyd. I don't know his last name. His name was Lloyd. And he tried to get us saved. Who knows if he didn't plant that seed in me and get saved later on in life. And we look at people, and they're difficult, and we say, man, God, how do you put up with this? You know? I mean, this is just crazy. Get me out of here. And God says, no, I have you there for a reason. Jesus came to this world. He knew what they were going to do with him. He knew they were going to crucify him. He knew they were going to mock him. He knew they were going to beat him. But for the will of God and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. But he loved God, and he was God. Amen? And he did all of that for us. Next time you're around a difficult person, maybe God will show you that was you. And try and win those people to the Lord. But that's what happens. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, Father, forgive them. This is Jesus. He had never sinned. He had never done anything wrong, but he was accused of everything. Amen? And he was belittled and all of those things. And he did that so he could die that perfect sacrifice on the cross and pay for all of our sin. All of our sin. And sometimes we go through a little trial and there's a difficult person and we're ready to jump ship. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Children, love your parents. Well, I have difficult children. I have a difficult spouse. I have difficult people that I work with. I have difficult neighbors, you know. We had a neighbor one time, he had a big dog, and we had an extra lot next to our house that we owned, and the dog loved that lot. He just loved it. He didn't stay in his own yard so much, but he loved to come to that lot. And while he was there, he always left us a present, you know. And I'm pastoring. I'm Sturgis Baptist Church. I'm the pastor. We've invited them to church. I'm thinking in my mind, well, just go tell him to keep his dog. It's right to do, amen. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, amen. It would have been in my realm of power to go, that's my lot. I don't want your dog going on the, you know, when I cut the grass. I'm not going to paint a picture. I don't want to do that. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that because I wanted to reach him. Amen? That's a small example of what Christ did for us. And it says again, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. 1 Thessalonians 2:20, for ye are our glory and joy. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? I think, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think if we get the picture, the difficult people, we're not to run from them, we're to run to them. We're to show them the love of Christ. Well, they may take advantage of me. Well, you don't have to pay their bills for them. But you can be kind, amen? You can be merciful. You can have grace because that's what reaches somebody's heart. You can berate them. You can tell them how bad they are. You can beat them with a whip. And God knows that won't work in some people. So he shows his love and his kindness, amen? I think we can do that. This is the Apostle Paul, and think of what he accomplished in his life. He had a good life, but he was not a Christian. He became saved, and he gave his whole life to the Lord. Look in your Bible. Look with me at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. This is his testimony. By the Holy Ghost, by the love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That was how he lived. That's why he won so many people to God. Amen? If this life is all about us and getting our way and protecting ourselves, and we're not going to be vulnerable and we're not going to be transparent to anybody, then we're not going to win people. But Jesus was a friend of sinners. You don't have to partake of the sin, but you can be their friend. Amen? Because sinners need to be saved. I think that's an important, very important point. We all have stories. There's a song in our songbook, Near the Cross, and one verse says this. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shone its beams around me. And a lot of the songs we sing are testimony songs and how good God has been unto us. But what about those that are still lost? God wants to use us to reach them. God sees what we can be. He sees what He can make of us. And sometimes it is a long process. Amen. There's new convert Christianity. We're excited about everything. And a lot of times there's a drop off after that. You kind of lose that sparkle, that first saved attitude. And then maybe you depart from the Lord for a while, or He's not that important, or you get involved in business or sports or whatever it is, and it takes precedent over the Lord and serving Him. But God is always there. He's always there, and His long-suffering is there because He can bring you back and you could be very useful for His kingdom. That's God. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read a verse in Ecclesiastes. And the long-suffering of God, 100 years in Noah's day, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. Lot was the same way. God was merciful to Lot, went in, got him out. And as in the days of Lot, so shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are experiencing the long-suffering of God. That's why God hasn't come back yet. There's people that need to be saved. Maybe it's a relative of yours. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a fellow worker. He wants us to reach them. It says here in chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because I don't get the hammer dropped on me right away, I'll keep on doing it. And so the long-suffering of God is misused by people. They're taking advantage of it. Amen. But by taking advantage of it, one day that's going to come and people will pay the price. One day God shut the door to the ark and the flood came and judgment came. One day that happened. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is telling the parable about how God sent into His vineyard servants to work the vineyard. That was Israel. And then He sent somebody to check how the fruit was in the vineyard. And they beat him and they mistreated him and they sent him back. And another one they killed. And then He says, last of all, He sent unto them His Son. Surely they'll reverence My Son. Surely they'll reverence My Son. And they killed Him too. And then it talks about the judgment coming. One last illustration. Jesus gave an illustration of the fig tree. And they went and they looked for years. They looked for fruit from the fig tree. And the picture is that the Lord came back and said, I'll give it one more year. Dig about it, dung it. If it bears fruit well, I'll let it live. But if it doesn't, cut it down. Like cumbereth it the ground. God is long-suffering, but one day that will be over. Amen. One day it will be over. One day that loved one that you know you need to witness to or try and win, one day he'll die or the Lord will come back. That'll be it. We need to do what we need to do now. Amen. Because God brought it to this place, us to this place. It's mercy, it's grace, we're being kind. Let God use you. Let God change your life today. Amen. There's Sunday after Sunday. I've been here, 27 years now? And you say, well, it seems like that. But pray for her. Amen. Sometimes you hear the same truths over and over. Why would that be? Maybe God wants me to examine my own heart. Amen. Maybe He wants you to examine your own heart. And then be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. There's people that need the Lord, and we need the Lord. We need His strength too. Amen. But let's keep this in mind. He's long-suffering. May we be long-suffering so we can accomplish His will. Don't do this to people. Let's bow our heads, please. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This may be the day, this may be the service where God has spoken to you. And after this, if you don't submit to it or are drawn to him, maybe he won't come again. If you're here today and you're not saved, trust him as your Savior. If you're a Christian, trust him with your life. Father, bless your word now. I pray that if someone here is not saved, truly born again, that they'll accept you as their Savior. I pray they'd recognize their sinful heart and ask you to cleanse it. I pray that they'd ask for a home in heaven. And for the Christians here, Lord, may we get so enthralled with you that love just draws us to your will. Help us to be what you are. Help us to be kind and merciful and long-suffering and patient. For your honor and glory, we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen.